And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
The Lord wants us to be a growing congregation. And to be able to be a growing congregation, it requires of us that there be a commitment upon our part to grow. Whenever we think about it, all of us as Christians have a responsibility to grow. Peter closes out his second letter and says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We know what Paul says as he wrote to Timothy, his son in the faith, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth." There must be a commitment upon our part to study and to know God's Word. One time, Christians were known as a God-fearing and a Bible-knowing people. And I'm afraid today that we are losing that image that we once had of knowing God's Word, of having it committed to our hearts and to our minds, and to live in accordance with it day by day. And I thought also, as we study more about our commitment to growth, there must be a commitment upon our part to seek after those who are lost. Each one of us who are Christians should have someone that we're trying to bring to Christ. All of us have special people that we know and love and that we appreciate. And we should be trying our best to bring them to Christ. I know in my life, there was a certain special man that came to the congregation where I preached. He was a most faithful attender, but he was not a Christian. He was without God and without hope in this present world. Before I went to bed at night, I prayed for that man. I did everything I could to encourage him to become a Christian. And one of the great things is seeing that man step out one Wednesday night and walk down that aisle, and he became a member of the Lord's body. His name was entered into the book of life. My prayers had been answered. And all of that zeal and determination that I had had for that man who needed to obey the gospel had been fulfilled. Now, as Christians, we're growing to be more like Christ, growing in our knowledge of God's Word, and growing out and reaching forth in bringing those who are outside of the body of Christ to become a part of the body which Jesus died for upon the cross. In our study of God's Word tonight, I want to show you a commitment to those who are lost. It is vital for us to have that commitment, to look around us to see those who need to come and be a part of the body of Christ. And I can show you no better example than three parables that are given in Luke chapter 15. I'd like for you to take out those Bibles that are in this auditorium now. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, here whenever we read, the publicans are those tax collectors, hated, despised by their own countrymen. They were seeking to hear about Jesus. And those who were the outcast, regarded as sinners, they were wanting to hear Christ speak. And as they drew closer to Christ, here you had those religious people, those Pharisees of which Thomas read about, those who were thinking that they were so religious and so pretentious, they started murmuring along with those who wrote down the law. And they accused Jesus of saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now here, in this 15th chapter of the book of Luke, you have three parables that are given. Three parables regarding the lost. Number one is a lost sheep. Number two is a lost coin. And parable number three, two lost sons. One of whom repents and comes back home. The other goes away self-righteous. Jesus says this parable first. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now here's a parable that is given. A parable is a simple story that is given to illustrate a spiritual truth. There was a shepherd. This shepherd had a medium-sized flock of sheep. And so, lo and behold, he makes the count, and he counts 99 sheep. One is lost. Now, you might reason, well, I've got the majority. Why worry about the one that is lost? But notice, this shepherd goes out, and he seeks after, he searches after. Notice the diligence. He looks after. He wants to find that which is lost. And finally, he finds that one that is lost. And notice, he picks that little lamb up, puts it on his shoulders. In his heart, there is exuberance. He comes back and he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found that which was lost." Now, sometimes we're guilty of saying, well, look how many we have. We have almost 500 here. One goes astray. Why should we seek after that one that is lost? Don't we have enough already? Aren't the majority coming? Where's our diligence to seek after the one that is lost? Where's our searching after? Where's our seeking after? Have we just decided that it's good enough for what we have? Now notice the spiritual implication that is given here. Jesus said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now let me impress this upon you. What if I am the one that is lost? Suppose along life's way that I go astray because, like a sheep, I have a poor sense of self-direction. And along life's way, I wander off and go astray. Which one of you is going to come looking for me and to say, "Ronnie, you were once faithful. You were once doing God's will. What happened to you? Where did we let you down?" And try to bring me back. Or are you going to let me stay lost? Are you going to stay out there in the wilderness of sin? Lost without Christ. Doomed to a devil's hell. That's what we're talking about. What if I'm the one that's lost? Wouldn't we want someone to come after us? one Saturday morning, a member of our congregation whom we loved, whom I respected a great deal, had gone astray. It had been on my mind every time that we came. I thought of this man and I prayed for him. I asked the elders, what can we do to help him? As the sun was rising one Saturday morning, I drove out to his house and I said, I want you to come out here and talk with me just a minute. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is, where have we let you down? Along the way, somewhere we didn't help you as we should have. And he said, I think you have let me down. But he says, what I've done is my fault. I said to this brother in Christ, I'm praying for you. I want you to come back. We miss you so much. You're a vital part of the Lord's church. And I went on my way. At first, two or three weeks went by, and he came in and slipped in the back. A couple more weeks went by, the invitation went out, and this man came down the aisle. With tears in his eyes, he stood and said, I have sinned. I have done wrong, and I want to be faithful again. Tonight, if you could go with me, you would see that man in the second row. He'd be right there with his wife. He's faithful tonight because someone was willing to go and say, we care about you. I'm afraid sometimes that we lose that sense of urgency for those who are lost. And we let people wander away from us. And we forget about them. Now notice the spiritual application again. Let's put it into our minds. The joy that we're missing. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's look at the second parable now. There was a lady who had 10 coins. And these 10 pieces of silver, she lost one. Notice the diligence that she went to. She lit a candle. She swept the house. And she sought diligently till she found it. And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now here is a very practical story. We can just almost see that lady sitting there, and she's counting her money. She had originally had 10 pieces of silver. For some reason, one of those coins had rolled off and rolled out of the way. And now comes the search for that which is lost. You can almost feel the intensity of the search. Down, feeling after, seeking after with every fiber of her body, wanting to find that which is lost. She goes to the trouble of lighting a candle and looking for that which is lost, sweeping her house and seeking after. And finally, she lays her hand on it. And here comes the joy that fills her heart. I have found that which was lost. Rejoice with me, the cry rings out. The lost had been found. Now notice the spiritual application that Jesus makes of this. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now notice how much further it goes. It goes to the very presence of the angels of God over just one sinner that repents and comes back to Almighty God. How important it is. People are brought to Christ one by one. Each one of us has a responsibility to somebody else. If we were lost, wouldn't we want to be sure that someone was looking for us? Someone was praying for us? Someone was wanting us to do God's will? And yet, we let the years slip by and fail to show our love and concern for them. Just a few hours ago, down Highway 30, I went with the elder of the church there and visited with a man whom I had never met before. I asked this man, "Haven't you been baptized into Christ?" He said, "Yes, I've been baptized." But that man had never darkened the door of the Harmony Church of Christ. A few months ago, the man had a stroke in bad condition. He faced death head on. "I may die." And he told us this afternoon, "I want to straighten up my life. I don't want to live like this. I want to come back and do right." Now, I believe that that man will. As we walked away today, I told him, "We are praying for you." There is that concern that we have over the one that is lost. Now, the best known parable here is the parable that we have labeled the prodigal son. Now look at this boy. Here he is raised up in a fine Jewish home. On his back he's had the finest of clothes. In his mouth he's had the finest of food. But look at him. He says, "Divide my inheritance. I want to go off and I want to do what I want to do." So this boy goes off and goes into the far country of sin. And there he spends his father's inheritance in riotous living. You talk about sowing his wild oats. This boy sowed those wild oats. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And one day this fine Jewish boy reached down into his pocket, and no money was there. And whenever he looked around, all of his friends that had helped him spend his money were gone. And he started to be hungry. And so he decided to go join himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him down into the hog pen to feed the swine. And it says of this boy that he was so hungry that he would have fain to have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. In that pig pen, he came to himself. And he said, "How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Notice, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." Someone wrote one time, the three hardest words to say, "I have sinned. I've done wrong. I've failed in God's sight." Now this boy right here was at the very ebb, right in the pig pen. You can just see the stench of the odor around him, dirt on his face, his clothes ragged. But he says, I'm getting out of this pig pen. I'm not going to live here any longer. Let me tell you, in regard to sin, sin always brings you down. Sin is pleasant for a season. And sin, when it's through with you, leaves you empty and truly in a mess. This boy says, I'm going back home. And then you have the picture of the father. That father looks out that door, out those windows of that house. And here he sees this boy coming back. This boy coming back with this filth that's been around him, his clothes ragged, his hair matty. All of these pictures can come into our mind. Now notice the difference. You can almost see a before and after. Look at the before. Father, give me of my inheritance. Notice the pride, the arrogance. I'm going to go and do what I want to do. Coming back home, he's been humbled. He's got words that he wants to speak to his father. Father, I have sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as a hired servant at your house. But his father runs with those open arms to his son. His son has been lost, and now he's been found. That warm embrace, that kiss on the cheek. The boy says, Father, I have sinned. The father comes with that wonderful rejoicing in his heart. Bring hither a ring for his finger, shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. It's a time of rejoicing, because that which was lost is found again, and that which is dead is alive again. Now, we have prodigal sons in our day. There's no doubt about it. Some decide that they can go their way. They leave God. They go into the far country of sin. And then they realize, this isn't the life that I want to live. This isn't the kind of man or kind of woman that I want to be. I've got to come back to my Father. And our Father is always ready and willing, with open arms, to accept the one who says, I have sinned. You can come back to God. You can do His will and follow after Him all the days of your life. As Christians, it is required of us that we be faithful unto the end. It is necessary for us to hold up the banner of the cross, to walk in the footsteps of Christ throughout the days of our lives. Now, Christians, we have been challenged tonight to seek after that which is lost, to pray for those who are lost, to do what we can to seek after, to diligently look after those who need to come to Christ. That's our responsibility. We are Christ's hands. We are His feet. We are epistles known and read of all men. We've got to do it. If we don't do it, nobody else will. And if you're here tonight and you haven't become a Christian, don't put it off any longer. Come to Christ tonight. If you've been that prodigal who's gone astray, come back tonight. Come back saying, I have sinned. repenting of that wrong that you've done, and asking the prayers of the church and to Almighty God for forgiveness. Won't you do it? Won't you come to Christ as we stand and sing?